Today on the On Track podcast, if our happiness in this life is fleeting, though we wish it weren't, does this point us to the reality that we were made for eternity? Let's talk about it. Welcome to On Track, where we help Christians to hold to your faith, stay the course, and finish the race. I once heard the story of a man who was watching a sunset. While he was watching, he was overcome with beauty and was moved to tears. Soon the tears became sobs, and it was obvious the man was deeply saddened. A friend came over to him and asked if he was okay. "Why are you so upset?" the friend asked. The man responded, "Because the sunset is so beautiful, I want to keep looking at it. But I know in just a few moments it will be gone, and I'll never have this view again as long as I live." Now, at first glance, you could find that a bit odd or even silly. But maybe consider his story a little deeper, because I think there might be something profound there. The man was struck by the natural beauty of the world. It moved him. He found great enjoyment in looking at the sunset. And while you can rightly say that the sun sets every day, consider that much like each snowflake is unique, so is every sunset. The weather, time of day, atmospheric conditions, cloud cover, many things go into how a sunset appears to us. Not to mention our own time commitments that allow us, or keep us, from being able to see the sunset. The man is right in saying he would never have that exact picture again. And even if he could, he'd at minimum have to wait nearly 24 hours. And then he'd only get to see it for a few minutes at most. Here's a key takeaway from that story. The things that make us happy are fleeting. And we don't want it to be that way. Which is why we chase after them the way we do. We want to continue to feel happy. We don't want it to be momentary. We don't want it to be fleeting. If we're honest, we might say the thing we want most in life is to be happy. But what makes you happy? And once you get it, how long does that happiness last? You know, we all experience highs and lows, things that thrill us, things that make us sad or angry. Whether we're in hard circumstances or live in relative comfort, we all are in pursuit of something that we think will make us happy. When I was younger and single, I enjoyed my job for the most part. My day-to-day wasn't bad by any means. But I tell you, I looked with great anticipation each year to my annual trip to the beach with my buddies. And understand, we were not partiers. We would be considered incredibly boring by most people's standards. Our idea of a good time was to just sit on the beach under an umbrella, read a good book, and go out to eat seafood until we were practically sick. I enjoyed being in the sun, watching it set over the water, relaxing, and not having to work. But for as much as I enjoyed that, after just a few short days, we'd have to leave. And I'd have to go back to work and dream about the next time we could do it all again, likely some 11-plus months in the future. We're all constantly chasing that thing we think will make us happy. Sometimes it does, and other times, when we get what we want, we find it doesn't make us happy. But when it does, how long does it last? How long before it becomes old and we want the next thing? There's a verse in Ecclesiastes that I think about from time to time. It says that God has put eternity into man's heart. We long for that feeling of happiness or joy to be endless. I think we instinctively understand that that's how we were created, with a desire for eternal life. And indeed, it was that way in the beginning. Our first parents, Adam and Eve, lived in a perfect world, in unbroken fellowship with God. We want that same thing. We don't want our happiness to fade. And we search for that fulfillment, even when it's things or experiences that we know won't last. I think this feeling of eternity that's in our hearts can be a powerful apologetic, because it points us to a greater reality beyond this world. While we live day-to-day as if this is all there is, deep in our hearts we know it's not. We know there's something more. We want there to be something more. We know this world, as beautiful and majestic as it can be, is not perfect. There's something broken. Death is devastatingly out of step with how it was meant to be. We have a natural survival instinct. We avoid death. Most of us, if we're honest, would say we're afraid of it, because we were not made to have to deal with it. It is our enemy, the Bible says. But that brokenness, what we rightly perceive as things not being as they should be, is the result of the creation rebelling against the Creator. The Bible says that God created the world and everything in it, and when He had finished, He called it very good. But when Adam and Eve disobeyed, it created a sin nature in each of us. The world is broken because of sin. We don't live in Eden, and no matter how hard we try, we can never recreate it. Even if we live a life of luxury, our plans will still fail. We will get sick. Friends and loved ones will die. There will be injustice in the world. And those feelings of happiness that we live for, that we try and escape those realities to, will quickly fade, and we'll be left to chase the next one. I'll say it again, we don't live in Eden. Our sin separates us from our holy Creator. There's nothing we can do to atone for that guilt, but boy, do we try. We're careful to do certain things and avoid certain other things, and we consider ourselves to be good people. There's so many others we can compare our lives with and say, well, at least I don't do that. But let's give a hypothetical situation on that note. Let's say you are on trial for a heinous crime of some sort. You know you did it, so does everyone else. But at your trial, you say, but I'm a really good person. I've given to charity, volunteered my time, walked my neighbor's dog, let him borrow my power tools. I don't get drunk, that much anyway. I'm not mean to my wife and kids, and you go on and on this way. Let me ask you, even if all that is true, does it absolve you of your crime? Does the good you've done negate the fact that you committed that crime? Of course not. And because you did commit that crime, what is the just thing for the judge to do? To sentence you to be punished. If the judge does not punish you, he or she is not being a just judge. Friend, it's the same with our standing before God. We all have done what we should not. The Bible says we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and we are all deserving of His just punishment. But, thank God, that's not the end of the story. The next two verses in Romans 3 say, "And all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of His blood to be received by faith." If you've never done that, never received Christ by faith, I urge you to do it today. You don't have to pray a fancy prayer. Just reach out in sincerity and ask Him to save you. Acknowledge that you've sinned against Him and repent, that is, turn away from doing those things. Make Him your top priority, above anything else or any other relationship you have. Value Him as your Lord, your Master. He gets the say in how you live your life going forward. Then, like a tree, put roots down. Get into and study the Bible. Join a solid church and get involved. Let people pray for you and encourage you. The Christian life is full of joy, but also comes with tremendous challenges. It's not a call to do these three simple things and life will be easy from now on. That's not reality, because again, we don't live in Eden. But when you put your trust in Christ, He promises to be with you and never leave you. As believers in Jesus, we understand that our treasure is in heaven. And unlike the treasures of this world, it will never fade or get old or fail to satisfy. The fact that the most beautiful and enjoyable things of this life do not last, the fact that we all have eternity in our heart, can point us to the reality of our fallen nature and our need of redemption. Outside of Christ, all we have is this temporary life. And when things go wrong in this temporary life, what's left? Outside of Christ, there is no hope. But in Him, we have all we need in the here and now. And eternity with Him awaits. Thanks for listening to On Track. For more, visit our website at keeponTrack.org.